actualization in the death and resurrection of Christ. And Daniel will be speaking to us, giving us a devotion concerning the death and resurrection of Christ and its connection to the Lord's table. And then this summer, I will be looking at the fourth and final perspective, the culmination of the Lord's Supper in the return of Christ. We are to observe this meal in hopeful and joyful unity until he comes, when we drink this cup anew with him in his Father's kingdom. It is a hopeful meal. Beloved, the death and resurrection of Christ was not an afterthought in the mind of God or the mission of Christ. Jesus said of himself that he came to give his life as a ransom, as a payment for many. The death and resurrection of Christ was foretold in the Old Testament and mentioned repeatedly by the Lord himself throughout his earthly ministry. Beloved, Christ came to reveal the love of the Father by becoming the Passover lamb, the sin-bearing sacrifice of salvation for all who believe. As Paul told the Romans, he was delivered up over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Romans 4:25. By God's favor and the effective power of his Spirit, through faith, Christ's blood is metaphorically applied to the doorpost of our heart, removing our sin and thereby averting his righteous judgment for sin. Beloved, it is in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. And Peter adds that it is according to his great mercy he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. We are here to celebrate Christ and our union to him with his life, in his life, death, and resurrection tonight. And I just want to read Mark 8:31, and then I'll have those who are reading go ahead and come forward after I finish reading. Mark 8:31 says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." And we are here tonight to celebrate King Jesus and the giving of his life, how it's symbolized and celebrated in a meal. And that's what we'll be doing this evening. If I can have those who are participating in the communion readings come forward at this time.
Psalm 22:16. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Psalm 16:10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption.
The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17.
Matthew 27:31. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Mark 15:25-37. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last breath.
The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16 and 17.
For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, 21 and 54 through 57.
Thank you, readers. If you'll take your hymnal and turn with me another time to hymn 239. When I survey the wondrous cross.
When I survey
singing. At this time, we'll go ahead and have Daniel come forward for the devotion.
First Peter 3:18a says this: For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. It's difficult for us to comprehend the absolute horror of the crucifixion. Crucifixion was only for the most deplorable, the worst of the worst criminals. Crucifixion was designed to intensify and prolong agony. It was designed for the person to be degraded and humiliated for all to see. It was done out in the open, not behind closed doors. The crowds would mock and jeer the person. And this was considered entertainment for the crowd. A person would survive anywhere from 3 to 4 hours or possibly up to 3 or 4 days before death. So what I'd like to do tonight is just take a few moments and discuss the suffering of Christ. Certainly Christ suffered spiritually in dealing with the severe agony of dealing with the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders. But I'd like to just focus on tonight just the physical suffering that Christ endured on the cross. And so, as I speak, as I go through this, I'm not trying to be sensational or to shock anyone. But I do think that it's important that we're aware of what Christ endured on the cross. And it's certainly not to take anything away from the resurrection, because without the resurrection, we would have no hope. There'd be no reason for us to be here. But Jesus was first subjected to a fake trial where accusers slandered his name through fabricated stories. They hit him, they slapped him, they spit on him, and they pulled the hairs of his beard. He then was flogged or scourged by Pilate. This was done by stripping him naked and tying him to a post. He was then whipped with a leather belt, which had pieces of metal, glass, or bone attached to the end. Skin was ripped off, and muscles, veins, or even bones were exposed. Just this by itself could cause severe blood loss. And this was just the beginning of the degradation and the dehumanization that Christ experienced. And the beating was so violent that some would die just from that. But the beating was designed to severely weaken the victim. Jesus was then forced to carry the crossbar, not the entire cross, as is sometimes displayed. But just the crossbar. And this crossbar would have weighed about 100 pounds. He was forced to carry this crossbar through the streets, where he would endure intense mocking and jeering. And by the way, this mocking and jeering would have occurred through the whole ordeal. A crown of thorns was placed on his head, and as Pastor mentioned this morning, he was able to show us what that thorn would have looked like. And it would have been more of a helmet of thorns. At this point, Jesus was so weak that he was not able to carry it. Square iron nails, 7 inches long and 3/8 of an inch around, were nailed into his wrists, not the palms. Nails in the palms would not support his weight. The feet were then crossed and a nail driven through both feet with the knees slightly bent. You know, we do passive exhalation thousands of times a day. We breathe without thinking about it. But Jesus would have been unable to do this on the cross. The weight of his body on the cross would have depressed the muscles required for breathing out. He would have to push himself up by the feet or the arms, causing agonizing pain. Dying of suffocation was a real possibility. And the list of symptoms or the things that Christ was experiencing physically could have been a very long list. And so I'm not going to go through every single thing, but I just want to highlight a few things that that Christ may have experienced on the cross. Loss of control of bladder and bowels, dislocation of the shoulders, possibly the elbows and the wrists, itching and pain from the thorns in his head, insects feeding on his wounds, unspeakable thirst. We know that Christ endured that. He said, "I thirst." Muscle cramps, shooting pain from the severed median nerve in the wrists, severed pain from his scourged back, scraping against the post. You know, we see crucifixes, which are very tame compared to what Christ actually endured and compared to what he would have looked like. But in the crucifixes that we see, there is really no blood. But we know this is far from the truth. The crucifix will also show a loincloth around his waist for obvious reasons. But he would have been completely naked, adding to the humiliation that he was already enduring. Isaiah 52:14 says, "His appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind." He had endured so much physically that he didn't even look like a human being. Jesus spent 6 hours on the cross before he cried, "It is finished," and then gave up the ghost. And as I mentioned before, this is just the physical pain and suffering that Christ endured. It's to say nothing of the mental and the spiritual anguish that Christ had to endure, which I think is more incomprehensible than the physical pain and suffering. I'd like to read the lyrics to the song, "The Power of the Cross." I think most of us are familiar with this song. "The Power of the Cross" goes like this. "Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finished the victory cry. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love." And then the chorus. "This, the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross." And then the final chorus. "This, the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us, what a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven at the cross." Let's not forget the suffering that Christ endured that day. Hallelujah. Praise God that we have been forgiven.
If you would please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I will be reading verses 23 through 29, a familiar passage of scripture that is read when the Lord's table is served. We will be reading from the ESV translation. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks damnation on himself." This time, if I could have Daniel Lau and the pastor will come and help me. A quick word of explanation, if you'll give me a moment. As we see here, we have the bread and the cup before us. And when we gather at the Lord's table, this is a unique time of worship because we are able to worship God. We are able to worship our Lord Christ Jesus with our five senses. God created us as sensual people. He gave us touch, the sense of touch and taste, sight and hearing. And with that, we can worship our Lord with our five senses, not just with hearing or singing as we do, but we can hear the wine being poured. We can see it being poured. We can see the bread, the body being broken. We can hear it being broken. When we drink it, we can, our taste buds spring alive with the texture and the flavor of the cup. And also with the bread, we feel the bread in our hands. We taste the flavor and the texture. What we do in essence is we become, and we do not become, but we experience the atoning work of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the promise of the return are told here in the bread and the cup. They themselves, like the scripture, as the Bible tells us, proclaims the Lord's death. They are a witness to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. At their part, they tell us the good news. We reenact the good news when we come to the Lord's table. This evening, before we, as we worship, let's take a moment and, as the scripture says, examine ourselves. Examine our relationship specifically, not only with God, but this is a time in which we come together and celebrate a common salvation that all of us share. We are all part of each other's salvation. We are all part of a local body here, a local assembly, a Bible Baptist church. And if, as the scripture warns that if we take this in an unworthy manner, not discerning or understanding what we're doing, and we do it, especially if we have hard feelings of either jealousy, resentment, or hurt against others here in whom we share in Christ, the scripture warns us about this, about being self-centered. The Corinthians made a character. They took the Lord's table and they became a caricature of it. It said that some people got there and they drank too much and they got drunk. Other people ate too much and they didn't share with others. What they did was they they pushed Christ out of the table and put themselves at the table and thought only of themselves. So when we come to the table, it's a time when we do not think about ourselves, but we think about others. And this is why we have been recreated in Christ, that our marred humanity would be restored to the humanity that God originally created, and we've seen in Adam and Eve, and we've seen lived out in the life of Christ, who gave his life as a service to others. So if we could take a moment and please pray with me as we take the bread here. Blessed are you, O Lord our King, God of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, Christ Jesus our Lord, because you are the bread from heaven. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Amen. As Jesus told us, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat. Our Lord Christ Jesus shared in our death. He shared in the judgment that was ours for our disobedience. And in doing so, because he shared in our suffering and our death, we now can share in the bliss and the purity of his life. Let's pray for the cup, please. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, Christ Jesus our Lord, because you are the true vine. With your blood, you have purified your people.
Thank you.
Hebrews tells us that Jesus entered the most holy place by merit of his own purity. It was his life. The blood is always synonymous with life in the scriptures. And by his own life, he entered the purity of his own life. He entered into the most holy place. And when he did that, as the song that Daniel quoted earlier, the veil, the curtain that restricted access to God's most holy place was torn apart. More than that, the difference in the temple, we had the court of the Gentiles, the court of the women, the court of men, and the court of the priest. All those walls were broken down, and we see that the scripture tells us that there is neither Greek or Jew, slave or free, male or female, but all are in Christ, and Christ is in all. And if you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. So there is only one room in God's temple now, and our Lord Christ Jesus is there advocating for us. Not only is he advocating, he has made the way for us to enter into God's most holy place, not by means of our own, a purity of our own, but by merits of a purity that he has given us, by sharing his life with us. And the cup reminds us and speaks of that life that he shares with us.
If you will, as a closing hymn, would you take your hymnal and turn with me to page 218. Hymn 218 is the hymn, Jesus Paid It All. I'm so glad he came out this evening. I think it's just really important for us to take time to stress the significance of the Lord's table. It is a means of grace. Just as you sing songs, you hear the word of God, and it's something the Spirit of God uses to help you persevere in the faith, so is the Lord's table. It is an ordinance given just as baptism to the church, and we're to carry out in the spirit of humble contrition and thanksgiving. And so it's just good to remember that. So thank you for coming out this evening, and let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your goodness. Thank you for our Passover lamb. Thank you that he was the bread of life, the water of life, the way of life. And he had gave up his own life, shed his blood, so that we might know forgiveness and salvation in him. We're thankful, Lord, for the resurrection of Christ that brought us justification. And Lord, we're just so thankful for your kindness and your goodness to us in Jesus. I pray that we would live out this good news, knowing that, Lord, you've not only ransomed and redeemed our souls through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, but Lord, you are progressively changing us and rescuing us right now from the ramifications of our sin. And so, Lord, we're just so thankful for your kindness to us. Bless us, Lord, as we dismiss. We ask all things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.